Please welcome Dean Thompson. Yeah, you all know him.
Okay, so I wasn't really prepared to tell a story, but after hearing all these stories, it's like, yeah, I could probably say something about boats. 26 miles across the sea, a place for me, the island of romance. Anyway, when I was growing up, Catalina Island was a big part of my upbringing, because we would go to Catalina Island and spend time, like two, three, four, sometimes, you know, five times a year, we would go over there. And we would go on the Great White Steamship for a while, and then my dad got a boat. And he got a Cal 20, a little 20-foot sailboat. My dad was really into sailing, and he said his first boat, he goes, my first boat, you want to see my first boat? And he would always point to my mother's finger where her wedding ring was. That's my first boat, okay? But he finally did get his boat, and my mom did not really share his enthusiasm in sailing. She would go with him, and he tried to get her interested in it, and he liked to race. He loved sailboat racing, and sailboat racing can be kind of tense at times, especially during the start. Everybody's jockeying for position. They're pretty close, and as long as you maintain your course and you're kind of relying on the other skippers to maintain their course so that they don't veer off, because you can't steer them real quickly. They're not super responsive. But my mom is a very nice person, very, very generous and very polite. And so when they were sailing, the yacht club would do these things called milk runs. Okay, that's when the wives would skiffer. And she was going up to a mark, and he's like, hold your course. No, we're going to hit. No, hold your course. We're going to hit. Hold your course. She's like, no, I'll just let them go in front. And so she turned, which the other skiffer was not expecting, and they ended up just T-boning and making a hole in the boat. And after that, she said, I'm not racing. I will never race again. I will not go in the boat with you again. So racing was one of the things we did, but we would also go over to Catalina. And Catalina, at that time, we would go over to Avalon, and we shared the boat with our neighbors, the Turnots, fantastic family. It was like my second family that we had. And we would go over to Catalina. We'd bring the boat over there. We'd rent some little bungalow, and the adults would stay on the bungalow, and the kids would get to stay on the boat at night. And so we'd be out hanging out on the beach or whatever, and then we'd have dinner, and then we'd play cards and play games, and then when it was time to go to bed, the older kids would be able to go out, get into the dinghy, row the dinghy out to the boat, and spend the night on the boat, which was great. It was like setting us free. It was like, you know, free-range kids. But as we got older, we realized that we were out on the boat, and we had no parental supervision out there. And so as we got older into our teenage years, we started experimenting with various things to do out on the boat. And one time we were out there, and there was about four of us, and we ended up bringing out a 12-pack of beer. And there was Mickey's Big Mouth. Now, I used to go out, and it's totally the side thing for a while there, when I would be out doing a lot of natural history stuff and doing field biology, I get to these areas where there was, you know, a beautiful area, and all of a sudden you see these beer cans laying around there. It used to irritate me. It's like, why? Look, they're lighter now. Why didn't they take them out? They brought them in. They were heavy. Now they're empty. They just leave them there. Why are these people leaving the beer? Well, then I realized, it dawned on me, they're underage. Okay, and that's why you leave the beer, because you don't want to be walking back with an empty beer can. It's totally incriminating. Well, we were out on that boat, and we were drinking Mickey's Big Mouth, and what were we going to do with the beer? It was nighttime. What are we going to do? So what did we do? We threw it overboard, right? Well, we went to bed that night, and the next morning we woke up, and the people, we were kind of late, we woke up, and the people that ran the marina there, they were running the boat, and they're just driving by us, and they're just staring at us, just glaring. We're like, why are these people giving us a stink eye? We couldn't figure this out. Why are we, you know, we've known these people. We come here every year. We know them, you know. What do we do to rock their boat? What do we do to rock? And all of a sudden, we look over the side of the boat, and the water is very clear. And there's just this ring of beer bottles all around our boat. And then we're like, oh, man. And then we look over to the shore, and we see both of our fathers walking over, and they're getting ready to come over. And immediately we're like, oh, my gosh, how deep is it here? I don't know. Okay, so we get into our trunks, and we start diving down underneath there and diving down as deep. It's almost to the limit at which we can dive, and we're getting beers. We're putting back up, and we did it, though. We were actually able to clean up all the beer bottles, and nobody was none the wiser. And we just went for a morning swim. That's what we told our fathers when they came out. Well, after we moved out of there, I moved up to San Luis Obispo. My dad continued to go out there and got larger boats, and we got to the point where my dad was getting older, and he would do sailing once in a while, but he wanted to go to Catalina with his sons. And so my brother, myself, and my nephew, and my son would go out with my father, and we would sail over to Catalina. And we'd go over to Catalina and spend a couple nights at the Isthmus, and then go to Avalon and spend a few nights there. And it was just such a wonderful time. We did this for about 5 years in a row while my dad still had the boat. And one time we were there, and my dad, he loves to sail, and he also loves bourbon, and he loves good cigars. And even when the last few times we were there, my dad was, I think, 87 years old, and we're sitting there on the boat, and I'm sitting there in the sun, and all of a sudden, you know, he just had a bourbon, and we played gin rummy, and it could smell cigar smoke, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I heard this splash. I'm like, what the? And I look out, and there's Dad in the water. He's like, he's in the water, but he's swimming. It's like he's already had two bourbons, he's already smoked his cigar, and he's swimming, but I'm watching, and he's doing okay. He's scrubbing the bottom of his boat and doing it, and climbs back out. And it's like, all right, well, good for you, Dad, you know. And on the way home, we were sailing home, and the wind was picking up, and he's like, let's pop the chute. Let's pop the chute on there. Let's put the spinnaker up. I was like, put the spinnaker up? Are you kidding me? No, let's do it. Let's do it. So can we get up there? And it's getting all tangled up, and I'm not a good foredeck guy, and I'm trying to get it all squared away. And finally, he's like, here, you come back here, grab the tiller. I'm like, okay. So I'm on the tiller, and he goes up on the foredeck. We're up and down. There's my 87-year-old dad on the foredeck. And I'm like, man, I hope the genetics are strong with this one. I hope when I'm 87, I'm drinking bourbon and smoking cigars and swimming in the ocean and being on the front of a rocking boat. I hope I can do it too. Thanks for being a good role model, Dad.